This is On the Other Hand. A podcast sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas that explores politics and other issues of importance to Arkansans through conversations with community leaders. Stay with us as we talk to another leader in Arkansas who works across differences to get things done and to bring us closer together. We had a great conversation with Nate Bell in our previous episode talking about his work across the aisle in his legislative work and also the work that he's doing now. And we're going to continue with the second part of the conversation we had with Nate.
You had mentioned about the primary problems and how things get very extreme. I know that there's some... I'm a retired psychologist, so I looked into a lot of the research on various things related to polarization. And one of the things that seems to be pretty clear is that extremes are very much alike on both the left and the right. You know, they have a lot of commonalities in their behavior and the way they do things. And some of those things include things like they're much more involved politically. They're more likely to vote in those small or primary elections. They're more likely to volunteer to help candidates. They're more likely to donate money. And then one of the dark sides is they're also more likely to endorse violence against their opponents. So what you're saying strikes me as is a really on target. So let me move to this. What did you have something you wanted to respond to on that?
Well, I just want to say as a campaign professional, I know this, and it's one of the things that I've fought and work really hard to end. Angry people vote. Angry people donate money. And so if you want to be successful in today's political world, happy, you don't want happy, satisfied, comfortable people. You want angry people who will show up in that primary. So you have to do everything you can to stoke as much outrage as possible. And it's just unfortunate, but you know, nobody is going to donate money to a candidate who says, look, my opponent's not really that bad of a guy. You know, he loves America too. We just disagree on X, Y, or Z. People don't donate money to candidates like that. None of us are going to rush out and make sure that we go vote to defeat, you know, somebody that we would be okay if they were in office anyway. And so they just take that. And I mean, look, I've been guilty of it. I've tried to get away from it and really focus on running positive campaigns. In all of my personal campaigns, I always ran positive campaigns because I believe voters respond well to that. And, you know, always won big. But I think it really does come down to the incentive structure is all backwards. And that's why I like ranked choice, because you have to appeal to the middle. And so it de-incentivizes provoking. It de-incentivizes incendiary rhetoric. And I think we have to, if we're going to see any systemic reform, we have to have whatever it happens to be, a system put in place that disincentivizes extremes.
That makes sense. As you say, then, anger works, and that's why we see a lot of it. And the further things go, the more anger we seem to be seeing, because it is working. Again, kind of from my looking at things, our brain is designed to quickly react when we get emotional, like when we get angry. It's a little more of an uphill climb, a little more effort cognitively for us to stop and think through, well, is this consistent with my values? You just act as if your life depended upon you responding with anger to this particular thing that's got you upset. So that really speaks to something I think is a key role. And so if you can find, as you're saying, some way to change the system to de-incentivize the emotionality plays that are used, I think that's great. That would be good. So given this kind of thing that we're talking about, right now there's very little interest in trying to work across the aisle. Rather, we do what works and get angry and paint the worst possible picture of the person on the other side because it works. But at some point, that poisons the atmosphere and the society and it leads to bad things, I would think, and I think there's good evidence already to see that happening. So I wonder what your thoughts are about where we draw the line when we consider the possibility of reaching across the aisle in a bipartisan manner and maybe being willing to compromise with the other side where you can find common ground. You know, how do we get to that instead of what we have now, where we just basically stubbornly refuse to change or to allow any compromise on anything?
Well, I think you're seeing something in a really current event, the speaker vote that's happening on Capitol Hill today and happened yesterday, as an example of why we can't get away from it. My congressman, Steve Womack, voted for, I think, Scalise, but he voted against Jordan and has indicated that he intends to continue to do that. He is being absolutely beat up by his extremes within his own party, many of them paid to do so, but, you know, because he's out of line. And so he's not lining up with, you know, he's one of 20 who didn't get in line when they were all supposed to. And what, again, the system is just built to, everybody has to play team ball. And if you don't play team ball, then, you know, if you stick with your folks, if you, you know, I believe Steve's doing a good job representing his district. It's a conservative district overall. He votes conservatively, but at the end of the day, he just won't go to the full crazy. And so it's, you know, you've got situations like that that are just repeated over and over and over. And there is no incentive to do the right thing. All the incentives are to do the wrong thing, unfortunately. I mean, Steve will likely get a primary opponent at some point as a result of saying, look, I'm not going to go there. So I think, you know, it really comes back to what we've talked about consistently throughout this interview. It's who we are as a people. But I think an even bigger piece of it is, you know, I can tell you a lot about how we got here because I've spent a lot of time researching it. What I still don't know is how we get out. But one of the things is the compartmentalization of media with so many blogs and podcasts and cable TV and, you know, all of the algorithms that drive social media all feeding us what we want to hear. We can very easily land ourselves in a silo where we actually begin to believe what we want to believe is reality. And it's really dystopian in a lot of ways how we now don't necessarily have to be confronted with things that make us uncomfortable. We can spend, you know, I recently decided, I don't have TV at my home. I just don't watch it. But I was traveling in a hotel and thought, you know, I'll just turn on the TV news. And I watched, I decided I'd watch Fox for an hour and then I'd watch CNN for an hour. And I watched the two, and you would think they were reporting on different planets. There, it was literally, and you know, for somebody who doesn't watch it to come into that cold and just go, I was blown away. If I only watched Fox, I would think that Biden was a satanic tool who was here solely for the purpose of destroying America. And, you know, I turn over and I watch CNN and, you know, they just really don't have anything bad to say about anybody on the left. And, you know, pretty much, you know, those guys on the right are the worst possible humans there could ever be. And I, you know, you flip over to MSNBC and it gets even more extreme. And so, you know, I think, but there again, the incentive structure for media. People watch what feeds their biases. And so, you know, it's an excellent predictor. Again, working in campaigns, I look for, when I'm looking to target advertising on social media, I'm looking for people's media preferences because then I know how to target them. And so, you know how to feed them what they want to hear. And everything in our world today, we have so much knowledge of people and their behaviors and, you know, how they're going to react to various things, that in large part, there's this Machiavellian manipulation that's happening by both parties, frankly, and really the grifter class that's not really partisan at all. They're just making money off of everybody by stoking their anger. The problem is we don't have to be confronted with things that make us uncomfortable in our society, and I don't know how we get past that. I personally just have to make it a point to make sure that my intake of knowledge and information includes a bunch of people I disagree with.
Well, that's okay. It's very good points. I was going to mention one thing that when you talk about getting a chance to hear from different viewpoints, that's really important. And one thing we talk about a lot in Braver Angels is, do you have a healthy media diet? Now, one part of that is trying to look for quality, because goodness knows there's a lot of garbage out there in the various forms of media. So try to find the ones who, at least to some extent, try to give balanced viewpoints and rely upon factual stuff to the extent you can find many. And there are some out there that do a reasonable job. The other thing is make sure you hear from a variety of viewpoints across the spectrum. And so one thing that we've recommended several times, I don't know if you're familiar with All Sides Media, but that is something you should, okay, check it out. They've got a website, and what they do, they were formed for the express purpose of trying to provide views from the left and views from the right and views from the center. And they have and you've maybe seen something like this, but a kind of a rating of various media sources as according to whether they're far left, center-ish, left, center-ish, right, center, or far right, that kind of thing. And so you can sign up for a free email that you get, I think, weekly, and it gives you a little taste of other viewpoints from the various sides, and then you can click on it and look at it that way. So that'd be a quick recommendation I would have for anyone who wants to improve their media diet.
Yeah, I just was on a Braver Angels call on Monday night, in which the people were also talking about a new tool like this, Glenn, that you might not have heard about, called Ground News. You should look it up, Ground News, and I don't remember if it's groundnews.com or groundnews.org, but it is actually helps you identify, you can actually go through their website and do searches for your news, and then they will actually identify whether you are primarily looking at right or left kinds of things, and then they will provide you a blind spot report. Where is it that you are actually missing things? And so I have not used it yet. I was trying to see if the free version would be enough, because there are some paid versions that you have to do to use that. But Ground News is actually what it's called. Somebody from that organization was actually presenting. So I'd like to, I know we're running close to our, have about a few more minutes here, but I'd like to hear you talk a little bit more about something that you kind of danced around the edges on a little bit. And this is the freedom of information work that you're currently doing. And the response to that, the bill that came out as a response to the legislative special session in September, that seemed like kind of a rather rare instance of common ground between the two parties. And I think you mentioned that you're actually working with this broad spectrum of folks in an attempt to put forth a citizens' initiative for enhancing the transparency language into our state constitution. I would love for you to tell a little bit about that effort and maybe why you think Arkansans should support it.
Well, you can learn more at arcitizensfortransparency.org. That's the number 4. And I'd encourage everybody to go there and kind of take a look. There's a draft of what we're working on, that kind of thing. But this is a really unique moment. I'm doing some work with a friend of mine right now who's writing a book on political movements. And so I've been reading his drafts now for about 2 years, and we've been discussing what makes a successful political movement and what leads to one being unsuccessful. And one of the things that really is a unique moment about where we are right now with this is the diversity of people. I was in a Zoom meeting about 2 weeks ago where there were several people in that meeting who had sued each other repeatedly within the last year, and they were cooperatively working together on this issue. I saw a woman who's a justice of the peace, who is a pro-vax, left progressive, spend 30 minutes having a really frank, civil conversation with one of the most loud anti-vax activists in Arkansas. And they were, the only reason they had that conversation is because they were together to work on this issue, on the transparency issue. And but, you know, that was a side conversation that occurred between them where they actually had a civil engagement between two people that you would never expect to have a civil engagement on that issue. And it was fascinating to watch. I believe that it's so important, number one, even bigger than the transparency, for Arkansans to, really people all across the country and around the world, but Arkansans in particular, to recognize that people we disagree with aren't bad people. And so having to just sit down and say, okay, look, we agree on this. What else do we agree on? And beginning to find that common ground and find those places where we agree is central to this effort. And, you know, I hope this is the start of something bigger, where people can recognize that, you know, there are a lot of solutions that we agree on that the politicians don't like. And so, you know, this is one, the politicians hate what we're doing here for the most part, because it, frankly, it makes them more subject to citizen oversight. And, you know, but that's what government of and by the people is. If we the people are going to rule, our state motto is regnant populace, you know, the people rule. And if we the people are going to rule, we have to be able to know what's happening so we can have oversight. So that really, in a nutshell, this constitutional amendment proposal sets out to accomplish three things. Those three things are to put the Freedom of Information Act in the Constitution as a citizen's right, so that a citizen has a constitutional right to know and to access public meetings in Arkansas. To increase penalties for violators and for those who seek to deprive citizens of that right, and to take it off the table for the legislature, to make it where the legislature cannot modify it without a vote of the people. And that's really our three core goals. We've got a draft out now that, you know, we're asking for public comment on. We'll be having meetings around the state over the next couple of weeks. We're going to have one in Fayetteville on the 26th and West Memphis on the 30th that I know are already scheduled. We've got a Facebook group. Folks are welcome to interact and be involved there. It's Arkansas Citizens for Transparency. That group, just to give you an idea of the dynamic, we put that group up on a Wednesday night, and by midday Friday, we had 1,400 members. People are interested and involved and engaged, and we're excited about where this is going to lead. Put this amendment in the Constitution, and then again look at more good government initiatives and how we can continue that spirit of cooperation. So I'm excited about it.
How soon do you think it will be on the ballot for us to be voting on?
We plan to have it on the November 2024 ballot.
Okay, it takes time to get that done.
It can only go on the general election ballot, and that's the next general election. So,
and probably we'll get a lot of people out to vote for that election because of the presidential election also on that ballot. So, well, I love that. I wonder if that recent agreement across political views perhaps bodes well for a greater willingness to work together in the future in areas of common ground in Arkansas. Any ideas on that or thoughts on that?
I do have. One of the things that I've done a fair amount of work on, really specifically within the last 4 years, is on looking at where there are obvious solutions to problems that where there is real common ground and general agreement, but the politicians won't touch it because they benefit by having the issue remain a problem. And immigration is one that I mentioned earlier. The people of the country generally recognize that there are some really simple solutions to the immigration issues that we have in this country. You know, most of the people who are illegally crossing our border are doing so because they want to have a better life. They want to have access to work. They're not people who are looking to cause problems. And there are some people who are crossing who are causing problems. So I think people of goodwill all across the spectrum recognize that, look, we could reform our immigration system so that the people who don't have bad intentions can cross that border freely, and then the people, you know, we can focus our resources on the bad actors. And so that's one of the things that, you know, I think there's tremendous opportunity for common ground. Unfortunately, that's not a state issue. The Constitution reserves that for the federal government, and so it's not one we can do much work on at the state level. But there are, you know, there are issues that we can do a lot of work on the state on at the state level. One of the things, I'm a very passionate Second Amendment activist. I'm alive today because I had a firearm in my home during a home invasion, and that's a story for, you know, that I could share sometime. But I was 11 years old, and guys started coming in our home, and I wouldn't be sitting here if I hadn't had a firearm in that home. Phone lines have been cut, all the other things, but there are a lot of common sense things that we can do around guns that would make our country safer without infringing upon the rights of gun owners. And, you know, both sides hijack those solutions whenever they're proposed. One of the things that's been frustrating to me is on the subject of background checks. It's a great example. The left loves to talk about, well, you know, we just want a common sense background check law. But the fact is, every law that's been proposed would make a felon out of me when I invite my buddy over to go deer hunting with me for the day and I loan him a rifle, because it's an illegal transfer. And they don't address those incidental transfers because they don't want to. They want to keep that issue on the table so they can fundraise off of it. And it's exasperating. It's that stoking of anger. And so I could go on and on and on about things around guns. Both sides do it. We could get, you know, as someone who buys and sells some guns in my life, I'd love to be able to do a background check on somebody who comes to buy a gun for me. I have no legal vehicle to do that. None. I can't access the background check system because I'm not a licensed firearms dealer. So that, you know, we could take the vast majority of the gun transfers that happen without background checks, without a mandatory law. Most gun owners don't want to sell a gun to somebody who's a bad actor. We don't have a vehicle to do it. So, you know, you could get broad consensus to just do that voluntarily. Same thing with stolen firearms. Have no vehicle to verify whether a firearm's stolen or not when in a sales transaction, whether you're buying or selling. There are so many of these things that, you know, just basic common sense that we could solve really easily. A lot of these social issues, politicians know the solutions. They know how to fix them. They don't want to fix them because it turns their base out. And so, you know, my thinking is that over the next, let's not even talk about abortion, but my thinking over the next few years is that I'm going to try to begin looking at how the people of Arkansas could come together, put some of these solutions in place, and then hopefully be a model for the rest of the nation on how some of that can get done. So that's my focus. That's my personal mission in life right now, is, again, that good government stuff.
So, Nate, you plan on doing that outside of being a legislator, or do you plan on doing that?
I've told a number of people the greatest privilege of my life was serving in the legislature, but I wouldn't do it again for anything. There's no sense of responsibility that is greater than having the responsibility of representing your friends and neighbors. And I took that very seriously when I served, but I've done my time. And I believe I can be more effective, again, out educating people and using the citizen initiative to get things done that you just can't get done in the traditional political system.
And if a person would like to join the kind of work that you're doing, I know that the Freedom of Information, the Citizens for Transparency stuff, they can join. You gave us some ways of doing that. But how would they get involved in doing the kind of work that you're doing?
Well, I hope you all might have the opportunity to bring me back in about 6 months. I think I'll have some more specific ways to do that. I'm not quite ready to throw those out there yet, but that's what I'm actively working on right now.
Ah, stay tuned then.
I love that. We'll put you on our list of having you back. That would be great. You know, the other thing I was thinking, I would suggest, you know, if people like the idea of trying to kind of use some of the higher values that we aspire to guide our behavior and to reach across the aisle, talk to people on the other side, which is what you saw working, Braver Angels is one of the options for trying to promote that. That's, in essence, what we're trying to do. So if they have questions, they can go to our website, arkansas.braverangels.org, and see some of the things we're doing, get in touch with us. And, you know, you don't even have to be a member to learn a lot of things about Braver Angels and the kind of things that you're talking about. So we would, incidentally, also be interested in helping in any way we can. So keep that in mind as you do your work. So given what all we've talked about, as we kind of wrap things up, just a couple more things. One is, where do you think we're headed in Arkansas politically? I mean, it seems very clear right now where we are. It's very much on the red side, just like for years it was on the blue side, or at least it was on the Democratic side. One could argue the color shade there. But where do we think we're headed? And tell us a little bit about maybe some hopes for the future in Arkansas, as well as maybe any concerns you have.
Well, I read the political scenario in Arkansas differently than a lot of other political consultants, but I want to take you to something that I think is missed. Everybody looks at Arkansas and says, "Wow, that's overwhelmingly red," but what they don't look at is digging a little deeper. There, Arkansans are generally rejecting the Democrat Party, mostly on social issues. And, you know, we could spend a lot of hours digging into the whys and all the pieces behind that. But so I think you just have to, with the exception of a few legislative districts, Arkansans aren't generally going to elect Democrats. There's no appetite to elect Democrats statewide, and we could go, again, ad nauseum into why. But when you start getting into the primary internals is where you start to see that it's not quite as lopsided as you might think. If you take all of our statewide races in the Republican primary this last cycle, the least extreme option won all but one statewide primary. I think that's a very interesting outcome. If you start breaking down the legislative primaries, with only three exceptions, the least extreme option won. And in the case of those three, it was a case of bad candidate or lazy candidate. So I will contend consistently that Arkansas voters are not, in fact, extreme. We're not being offered options that aren't extreme. And you can take, you know, let's just take the governor's race. We had Sarah Sanders. We had Leslie Rutledge in early. And then we had, but ultimately when it came down to time to vote, it was Sarah Sanders or Doc Washburn. Well, Sarah Sanders was without question the least extreme of the two. You can take the lieutenant governor's race, same situation. The least extreme option won that race. All the way across the board in all of our federal races, you know, the sitting incumbents had far more extreme opponents. Now, I mean, a power of incumbency obviously plays a role there, but in a lot of states around the country, some of these ultra-MAGA candidates did, in fact, defeat incumbents. That didn't happen in Arkansas. In fact, our incumbents won by wide, wide, wide margins against very, very extreme opponents. And so I would just argue that Arkansans, while they don't, They're far more conservative than the Democrat Party is overall. They are not, in fact, nearly as ultra-MAGA and far-right as a lot of people believe. Arkansans really want reasonable, solid, stable people in government we just don't have enough opportunity to vote for those people, and we don't have enough opportunity. We don't have enough candidates who are stepping into these races and challenging the status quo. And I mean that we could have a whole broadcast on that one subject. But I'm not a believer that that Arkansas is an extreme state at all. We just we don't have the opportunity to express it.
It's a good point. We certainly are in many ways independent, I'd say, in important ways. Well, we've about run out of time, so let's just finish up. You know, we've been through a lot of serious, sometimes troubling conversations. Lighten it up a little bit and see if you can tell us something, maybe something, a fun story, a brief fun story, or something interesting that's happened to you that people might enjoy hearing to kind of cleanse our palate here.
Wow, it's been pretty serious here lately. I'm a guy who loves pranks, so I need to have a little time to ponder that one, and I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But I will say that the joy of my life right now is my 7-month-old grandson. My word, the kid just every time I see him, he's he's developing and changing, and I don't know. I thought raising kids was amazing, but being able to watch my child raise a child is an experience that I can't stay really even begin to put into words. And the joy of my life right now is my life. My life is wonderful. I have an amazing family that I'm fortunate to have all living close by, and I have an amazing place to live, and my home and my land, and I'm a very blessed man, and my life is a happy one.
Well, good for you. And that's a really nice, positive way to end it, and something I think a lot of people can relate to. So, Nate, really a pleasure to talk with you. Love hearing what you have to say. We will have to have you back, but thanks for all the good work you're doing to try to bring people together. That's getting people to talk to each other and develop relationships may be the most healing thing we can do in this current environment. So thank you so much for being with us.
We hope you enjoyed the second part of today's discussion with Nate Bell. Be sure to check out the first part of our 2-part conversation we had with Nate, as well as other podcast episodes of On the Other Hand. And you can find those on the podcast page of the Braver Angels Arkansas website, and that's at arkansas.braverangels.org. You can also locate us on many popular podcast sites.
And when you visit the website, you'll find links to all our episodes. You'll also find a link to email us if you have any feedback for us or suggested speakers. That email address is otherhandar@gmail.com.
On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band, Dr. Richard Main, conductor.
From your host, Glenn White,
and April Chatham Carpenter,
let's each do our part to bring our community closer together.